Okay, so ready to do a deep dive into all the light we cannot see.
Absolutely, let's do it.
I just finished this book and wow, it just blew me away.
I know, right? Dewar's writing is just, it's incredible.
It really is. Like the way he brings World War II to life through the eyes of these two young people, Marie-Laure and Werner, it's just, I don't know, it's just so powerful.
Yeah, and you really get a sense of how the war impacts ordinary people, especially children.
Exactly. You're not just reading about battles and stuff. You're right there with them, experiencing the fear, the uncertainty, the hope.
And those locations, too. Dewar really transports you to occupied France and Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah. The descriptions are so vivid, so detailed, you can practically smell the sea air in Saint-Malo and feel the grime of the coal mines in Germany.
It's like you're stepping into their shoes, you know? You experience Marie-Laure's world through sound and touch because, well, she's blind.
Oh, right. I almost forgot to mention that. Marie-Laure is blind. But her father creates this amazing model of their neighborhood for her to navigate.
And it's not just any model. It's incredibly intricate, with tiny buildings and streets and even like
I
lampposts.
know. I was amazed by how Dewar used it to show Marie-Laure's resilience and like her ability to navigate the world in a way that most of us couldn't even imagine.
It's really a testament to human connection, too. I mean, her father's love and dedication to create this model for her, it really speaks volumes about their bond.
Totally. It's like he's giving her a piece of the world that she can experience and understand on her own terms.
And it's a safe haven for her, too, in a way.
Right. And then there's Werner, who has this incredible talent for
Oh,
radios.
yeah, he's fascinated by them, finds a broken one, and manages to bring it back to life.
It's like he opens up a whole new world for himself and his sister, Judah.
That scene where they first hear music
Yeah.
through that repaired radio, it's pure magic.
You can just feel their sense of wonder, right? Like this little spark of joy in their otherwise kind of bleak existence.
But there's this underlying tension, too, you know, because you know that Werner's talent is going to lead him down a much darker path.
Right, intertwined with the Nazi regime's ambitions.
It's like Doerr is subtly foreshadowing the moral dilemmas Werner will face. He has this gift, but it's being used for something, well, disturbing.
And the way Dewar contrasts their childhoods is just so striking. It's like you have Marie-Laure experiencing the beauty of Paris, exploring the museum with her father, you know, learning about seashells and time and all that.
Yeah, she's surrounded by knowledge and beauty and wonder, and her dad instills in her this love for stories and learning.
Yeah, and it's like all of that helps her cope with like the encroaching darkness of the war.
Exactly. And then you have Werner, who's growing up in this like stark industrial town dominated by the coal mine, poverty and limited opportunities.
And the Nazi youth program becomes this escape for him, but also it indoctrinates him with this awful ideology.
It makes you think about the choices we make, the pressures we face, and how easily someone's moral compass can get skewed, especially in a society consumed by like fear and propaganda.
It's a really thought-provoking aspect of the book, for sure.
And then, just when you think you're starting to understand their individual journeys, Dewar throws in this mystery surrounding a diamond called the Sea of Flames.
Oh, yeah. The Sea of Flames. It's connected to Marie-Laure's family, and her father becomes obsessed with protecting it.
It adds this whole other layer of intrigue to the story, doesn't it? You're like, what's so special about this diamond?
And the way Dewar hints at its history, like ancient curses and lost treasures and stuff, it's like he's dropping little breadcrumbs, and you just have to follow them.
Yeah, it makes you desperate to know more. Like, what's going to happen to this diamond? How will it affect their lives?
It's brilliant, really.
It is. And then the war escalates, and Marie-Laure and her father have to flee Paris. They end up in this coastal town, Saint-Nol.
Right, and they find refuge with her great uncle, Etienne, who's a bit of an eccentric character himself.
Lives in this mysterious house with its own secrets.
Saint-Malo becomes this like crucial setting in the story. It's an ancient walled city right on the edge of the sea.
And the tension starts to build as the German army closes in.
Dewar's descriptions of the bombing raids are so vivid. Like you can practically hear the bombs exploding and feel the ground shaking.
It's terrifying, but also like exhilarating in a way. You're right there with the characters experiencing it all.
And it's in Saint-Malo that Marie-Laure and Werner's paths are set to collide. Dewar does this incredible job of weaving their stories together.
Yeah, building the anticipation until you're just like on the edge of your seat, wondering how and when their lives will
It's
intersect.
like watching two trains hitting towards each other on the same track, you know? You know something's going to happen, but you have no idea what the impact will be.
And that's what makes this book so captivating. It's not just about the war. It's about these individual journeys, these little moments of courage, and the unexpected connections that can emerge in the darkest of times.
It leaves you with this sense of wonder. Like, what's going to happen next? How will their lives intertwine? What will become of the Sea of Flames?
And that's what's so great about this deep dive. We're just scratching the surface here. You know, piquing your curiosity without giving too much away. Because trust me, you want to experience this story for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. All the Light We Cannot See is one of those books that will stay with you long after you finish it. It's a story about love, loss, hope, and the, like, enduring power of the human spirit.
It really is. It's interesting, isn't it, how Dewar uses these everyday objects in the story, like, to represent these bigger ideas.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, we were talking about the Model City in Werner's Radio. They're not just, like, random things.
Right. They symbolize something deeper about the characters, about how they experience the world.
Exactly. Like, the Model City for Marie Laure, it's more than just a tool to help her get around.
It's like a representation of order and control, right, in this world that's literally falling apart.
Yeah, it's this little pocket of stability in the midst of chaos.
And you can see her father's love woven into every little detail. It's like he's creating a safe haven for her in that miniature world.
And the way she uses it, memorizing every street, every building, even the number of lampposts, it's amazing.
It's her way of making sense of her surroundings, you know, of finding her place.
Makes you think, what are the things we cling to when everything feels uncertain?
That's a good question. What are our own model cities, those things that ground us when everything else feels out of control?
And then, on the other hand, you have Ferner with his radios.
He's drawn to this invisible world of sound waves and communication.
He can connect with people and places far beyond his little town.
Like he's yearning for something bigger than himself.
Exactly. Something beyond those coal mines and that oppressive Nazi ideology.
But there's this duality to radio too, right?
Oh, totally. It can connect people, but it can also be used for propaganda and manipulation.
And we see that play out in Werner's story as he gets swept up in the Nazi machine.
He's this gifted kid, but his talent is used for a purpose he never could have imagined.
It's scary how easily passion can be twisted for a darker purpose.
And Dewar doesn't shy away from that tension between innocence and corruption.
Right. He shows how complex people are, how even good people can be drawn into doing terrible things.
And then, of course, there's the mystery of the Sea of Flames.
It's not just a valuable diamond, right? It's shrouded in legend and this sense of, like, foreboding.
It's both a blessing and a curse.
Remember how Marie Laure's dad talks about diamonds, how they accumulate stories?
Yeah, like they've witnessed the rise and fall of civilizations.
It's like this tiny object holds the weight of history in it, all that beauty and tragedy.
And you're left wondering, how will it impact these characters?
What role will it play in their lives?
And it's not just the objects themselves, but the way Dewar uses them to explore these themes of resistance, you know?
Oh, definitely. Like with the women in St. Malo baking those coded messages into bread.
That's such a powerful image. These ordinary women using their everyday skills to fight back.
It's so subtle, but so courageous at the same time.
And then you have Werner. He starts to question the Nazi ideology after seeing its brutality firsthand.
That scene where the prisoner is punished in the courtyard, it's heartbreaking.
Werner realizes the cost of his silence. Of blindly following orders.
It's a reminder that resistance can take many forms, big or small.
And as the war intensifies, the tension in St. Malo just builds and builds.
It feels like the walls are closing in.
You're right there with them, feeling that claustrophobia and desperation.
And in the midst of all that chaos, Marie Laure and Werner's lives are about to collide.
Dewar builds that suspense so well.
You're practically holding your breath, wondering when and how their paths will cross.
You know, we've talked about the setting and the characters and, like, all the symbolism and all the light we cannot see. But there's this one thing I think it's so important to the whole book.
Oh, were you talking about the ending? How Dewar manages to, like, leave you with this sense of hope, even after all that devastation?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to spoil anything, but the way he brings Marie Laure and Werner's stories together, it's both surprising and yet it feels inevitable, you know?
It really makes you think about how connected our lives are, even when we don't realize it.
It's like those little moments, the ones that seem insignificant, they can have these huge ripple effects.
And Dewar really leaves you pondering those connections, like those what-ifs. long after you finish the book.
And what about the diamond, the Sea of Flames? Well, I was waiting to see what would happen to it, you know, if its secrets would be revealed.
That's the thing about Dewar. He doesn't tie everything up neatly.
Right.
He leaves things open to interpretation. You get to draw your own conclusions.
I love that. It's like you're still participating in the story.
Exactly. And Marie-Laure, she does learn the truth about the diamond, but she also realizes the burden it placed on her father.
It's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? How the things we treasure can also become sources of pain.
Absolutely. It shows how complicated people are, how even our best intentions, like trying to protect something precious, can have these unintended consequences.
And Werner, he survives the war, but he's haunted by what he's seen and done. It's like a reminder that the scars of war run deep.
That scene where he visits Frederick, his old classmate who was punished for his kindness, it just breaks your heart.
It really shows the lasting trauma of war.
But even with all the darkness, there are these glimmers of hope, too.
Like how Marie-Laure rebuilds her life. She finds solace in learning.
She carries her father's love with her, those lessons he taught her about resilience and imagination.
And Werner, even though he carries the weight of his past, he chooses to do something good. He repairs televisions, bringing people a little bit of joy.
It's his way of atoning for what he did, you know, a way of making things right.
It's a powerful message that even after experiencing terrible things, there's still a chance for redemption.
And that's what makes All the Light We Cannot See such a profound book.
It's about resilience, the capacity for love and forgiveness, and finding light even in the darkest times.
I think everyone should experience this book. It's a journey you won't forget.
Absolutely. It'll stay with you. It makes you think about the choices we make, the impact we have on each other, and the importance of holding on to hope.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into All the Light We Cannot See. We hope we've, you know, made you curious enough to check it out for yourselves.
Definitely. It's a story that will stay with you.
Until next time, keep searching for those stories that illuminate the human experience with all its complexity and wonder.